We're looking at Matthew chapter 4 to start with. And we will see as we go through how the parable in Matthew 21 fitted in and fits into what we're reading here in these passages. First thing we see, if you look at those verses in Matthew, we are going to move to verse 8. That's what we're up to. We've slowly been working through this. First thing we notice is that the tempter returns. Jesus is right in the middle of a fierce battle. And I wanted to just stop and remind us of that because that is where we are. We are in the midst of a fierce battle. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Thankfully, as Paul's reminded us, not forever, but for the time being, let's never forget the enemy is much, much more persistent than we are. What does Paul say in the other Paul, in Ephesians? We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and the authorities of the unseen world. Against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. That's not addressed to super Christians. That's not addressed to theological students training for the ministry. That's addressed to every single follower of Jesus Christ. Satan's tried to appeal to Jesus' human need in those first lot of temptations with the bread. And Jesus has beaten him back, you remember, with the sword of the Spirit. Then Satan has come back to him. Last week we saw quoting scripture. That's the way you want to play Jesus? I can play that game too. And Jesus has beaten him back with the sword of scripture in its proper context and with its proper interpretation. Now we see that Satan takes the gloves off and he reveals that this is what he's really been after all along. The devil, verse 8 says, took Jesus to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said. If you will kneel down and worship me. So, it's very clear, isn't it, secondly, that this is a very powerful temptation. We might think it's so obviously repugnant to Jesus. But let's remember, Jesus is fully human and fully divine. All the kingdoms of the world. Isn't that what Jesus has come for? Doesn't Jesus love all of the kingdoms of the world? Doesn't Jesus know, like we talked about at communion, that it's really best for all the kingdoms of the world to be under his control? This was the dream of the Jewish nation. The fulfillment of that surely is a very appealing temptation. Jesus would be able to reveal himself to all the princes and presidents and prime ministers and people of authority in the world. He'd be able to reveal himself as who he really is, the King of the kings and the Lord of all the lords. Rather than the long road through suffering and martyrdom, Satan here is offering Jesus a shortcut. Quite incredible, isn't it, to read that it's the devil who says, all these kingdoms of the world in their glory, I will give it all to you. If we go to Luke's gospel, Luke adds, as Satan says that, he said, because they are mine. To give to anyone I please. really important, isn't it, to hear that scripture, to have the Bible as our the way we interpret the world in which we live and the worldview that we have. The world laughs at the idea of a Satan, of the devil, of these evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world that we read about in Ephesians. But the scripture says some very, very serious things. The devil is not joking when he says to Jesus, "I'll give you all of these things if you'll just bow down and worship me." As Luke says, he says, "For they are mine to give." And it's true, isn't it? By usurping back there in the Garden of Eden, usurping Adam's authority through his disobedience, Satan gained apparent possession of the world. Scriptures are very serious about that. 2 Corinthians 4 says, "The God of this world," and he's talking about Satan, "has blinded the minds of those who don't believe." He goes on in 1 John. John writes, "We know that we are the children of God, and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one." So a very powerful temptation, a temptation that Satan was able to offer to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't deny that fact. But we need to see that Jesus, as he responds to Satan, Jesus is the true king, and he's the true king by divine right. That's the point of that parable in Matthew 21. Those people were very excited when they finally recognized that the last servant that the master sent them was the son, the heir. To destroy him would be then to be able to have the whole estate, so they thought. Satan, though he offers to Jesus the whole world, he knows that Jesus is the true king by divine right. That's why he goes for this jugular. That's why he throws the gloves off. "If you will kneel down and worship me." Jesus could take the shortcut. He could obtain all that earthly conquest by surrendering his universal right. Satan offers him that as a reward. But Satan asks Jesus for everything. For everything. Jesus said in Matthew 6 a bit later on, "No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money and material wealth." John finishes that letter that we started to talk about before, about the whole world being in the hands of the evil one. "Dear children," he says, in the last verse, 1 John 5, "keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart." Satan offers us great rewards when we kneel down and worship him. But he asks us for everything. What is the false god of our society today if it isn't material wealth? So as we Think about this moment where the temptation is real and it is strong. Remember, I think we said last week that the humanness of Jesus, although being drawn, having an appeal to that, the divineness of Jesus was repulsed by the temptations of Satan. And so the final thing we see is that Jesus will not. It is funny. We love you. The fifth and final thing to see is that Jesus will not give a millimeter to the tempter. Get out of here, he says. It's a very, very strong word in the Greek. Get out of here. Be gone. Whatever different translation we might have. Get out of here, Satan, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. See there, it's clear, isn't it? The first of the Ten Commandments, that's the one that Satan goes straight to, not just for Jesus, that's the one he goes straight to for all of us. This is what God will be holding us all accountable to. Even just that first commandment on its own. This is what God will hold the whole world accountable to. We know from the scriptures that Jesus will regain his kingdom. He would regain his kingdom even in this, even though Satan takes him to the very cross. But even there, it's all in the hands of the Father, it's all in the hands of the Son, and it's all in the hands of the Spirit. Jesus will regain his kingdom. Jesus will have all of the kingdom. He will make all of the kingdoms of the world his kingdom in the ultimate sense, but not by entering into a treaty with the devil, but by conquering the devil through his death and his resurrection. This final temptation was Satan's sweetest temptation of them all. But sweet though it might be to the devil, sweet though it might even be to you and me, it's disgusting to Jesus. This chapter 4 of Matthew, as we've been looking at it over these last few weeks, is not just an incredibly important moment in Jesus' life that we need to see and understand in the whole context of him being the Saviour and the Lord of all the world. It's a call to you and me too, to stand not just for Jesus, but to stand with Jesus. To resist and to reject and to repudiate Satan in all the disguises that he may come. Get out of here, Satan. For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then we read that the devil fled, and angels came and took care of Jesus. There's a world of wonder and contemplation in that verse, isn't there? The angels came and took care of Jesus, or ministered to Jesus, your version might say. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we, in our weakness, can be strong in the strength of the Lord. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us to have the eyes of our heart and our faith open, not just to the reality of the battle round about us, Father, but more importantly to the reality of our Master, of our warrior King, of the tempter's Lord. Loving Father, help us to realise to the very depth of our being that we can only conquer when we bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just in church, not just through singing a song, but Father, in the nitty-gritty, moment-by-moment issues of the day when the choices come. Jesus' way or Satan's way? Loving Heavenly Father, we're followers of the Lord Jesus. Help us to be that, Father, 24 hours a day in this coming week. For we ask these things in his name. Amen.